You are so welcome here this morning. Man. Yeah, that's right, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Again, to move and have your way, Lord Jesus, as we share, Lord, your word. And we get to grow in you, Lord. Help us, Father God. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Well, man, I've just really been on the prophetic. And this morning, we've had a lot of prophetic already. And I just wanted to identify the prophetic just a little bit. You know, God gives us a prophetic word. He speaks to us to give us permission and a promise to do something. And I want to talk about a man named David, because we all know the man named David. David was given a promise. Remember, you guys know the story of David Goliath? Yeah, we got the story of David Goliath. But I was thinking about David this morning and last night. I was just getting ready to prepare. And 1 Samuel 17, and David was a man of after God's own heart. And God gave David a word when he was very young. He's 17 years old. And God gave this word to Samuel to go to the son of Jesse of Bethlehem. And this is Samuel 16. And I have chosen one of these sons to be king. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one," when he saw David. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came in power upon David. And Samuel then went to Ramah. David was anointed king at the age of 17 before his encounter with Goliath. So he was given a promise. He was given a promise, and he was anointed king. Now, David was what before he became king? David was a shepherd. David was a shepherd boy. And he was, with that, was part of his identity, is that he was to watch the sheep. So if something came towards the sheep that was going to attack the sheep, David took it upon himself to act, right? So David took it upon himself to act, and David encountered what? A lion and a bear, and he took them out. How is that come to think? Have you ever killed anything before with your bare hands? I was just thinking, like, if you a squirrel or something, or a bird. Have you ever crushed a bird with your hands? What about, like, a bear? I mean, he took a bear. Now, is that something that would be unexpected? Would that be unusual to kill a bear with your own hands? I'm just thinking about David and his thoughts towards being a shepherd. Those were his sheep, and something was coming after his sheep. But David knew something. He knew something about who he was and what he was called to do. And he was called to protect those sheep. Amen? And they were coming to take his sheep. And he said, "No, you're not. I've been called and anointed to watch over these sheep." And he knew something about the Lord and the power of God, that when it came between two things, God would always win. Amen? God is bigger. Amen? Can these dry bones live? The miracle hand working power of God was on his side. So he killed the bear with his bare hands. I was just thinking of a squirrel. Like if you're grabbing a squirrel. I wouldn't even want to grab a squirrel because that would be gross. The thing would bite you. You think the bear would bite you, but the man took that upon himself. He knew something. He was a shepherd. He knew that he was a shepherd, and he was like, "Fine. You think you're going to take these sheep? No, you're not going to take these sheep. These are my sheep." Something came upon David. So that had happened first. So now David was anointed king. He had been given a promise to become king of Israel. So now, instead of being a shepherd, he was identifying himself as a king. He went up to the mountain. He was anointed. He went back to being a shepherd. And I'm sure he was thinking about what it would be like to be a king. Because Samuel just came and anointed him as king. So he's thinking, "Oh, I'm going to be a king. What would it be like to be a king?" Right? Yeah, that would be so much fun. Well, okay, hold on just a second. So the Philistines come, right? And there's this man named Goliath, right? 10 foot tall, had a spear 300 pounds. Well, this man was coming, so David came to deliver some sandwiches to his brothers to feed them at the war, and he's checking this out. He's checking out what's going on with his to-be kingdom, right? This is my kingdom. And guess what he found? Everybody was afraid. Everybody was afraid of Goliath because of what they were seeing, right? And then so David comes down there, and this is what he says in 1 Samuel 17. He says, "And David said to the men who stood by him, 'What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistines and takes away the approach of Israel?'" So what's going to happen here? What would I get? For who is this what? Uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God. He said to David, and this is what Goliath said in verse 43. So right there, David identified the Philistine as what? 10 foot tall with a 300-pound spear? Is that what he said the Goliath was? What did he say that Goliath was? He was an uncircumcised Philistine. He was identifying Goliath with his truest identity, and he was identifying himself as his truest identity, right? As king of the living God, right? And not king of the living God, but king in Israel, the one true living God. Watch what David does in verse 45. David, or 43, David said, or the Goliath said to David, "Am I a dog that you will come with me at sticks?" So he's trying to identify David. He says, what is this? What is this guy? He's trying to put identification onto him. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." Yay, right? But this is what David said. "You will come against me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled this day. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give your carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or by the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands." So I see your tent, and I raise you 10,000. David identified with a kingdom that was unseen. For the kingdom that was seen was intimidation and brought fear and right to the people of Israel. But David had grasped something in the spirit. He was anointed king of Israel. God had given him a promise beyond his circumstance, beyond that which was right in front of him. Goliath was a mean dude, and he promoted fear. He promoted what? Doubt. He tried to put an identity on that person that would cause them to crumble before they even came to the battlefield. But David wasn't going to have any of that, because this was his people. He was anointed. "This is my family. What are you?" You're a father, aren't you? You're a father. You're a mother, right? With that comes what? With responsibility. Comes with authority. When David got that word, he had legal authority over the enemy. When he was a shepherd, he had legal authority, right? Over the enemy. When the enemy tried to come against the sheep, what did David do? He recognized he had legal authority over the bear and over the lion. He saw a kingdom that which was unseen, right? And he took that into his hand. When he saw Goliath, he didn't look at Goliath as a big 10-foot dude, right? He saw him for what he truly was, and he saw himself for what he truly was, right? And then with that legal authority, he had permission to overcome every obstacle. And he was also given elevated status in Christ. He was anointed king. He had the authority and the right to take out Goliath, see beyond that circumstance. Amen. As a father, we have what? Authority in our household, right? And I'm telling you something right now. There are Goliaths in the spirit that are trying to take us out and intimidate us. There are circumstances and situations going right on now that is trying to promote fear and doubt in America. Come on. And Goliath was just a big mouth and a big body, right? And he was. And he's blabbering on. And everybody was afraid. And everybody was afraid. So when circumstances and situations come and fear comes into our hearts, guess what? What was the promise and what is the word that was spoken to you? And David knew it. David knew what it was spoken to him. He knew the promise that God had given him. And from that platform, he engaged the enemy. Because I have a word, and this is what God spoke to me, that I would be king of Israel. So therefore, Goliath, you can't win. You can't become king. You're not going to become king, for God spoke to me about this. Amen? That's why prophetic words were so important. When you were hearing the prophetic word this morning, just happened, how important is that prophetic word to you? Because in it is your permission and your promise, your right to take legal authority over the principalities and powers that are trying to come against us. Come on. Think about it. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities and powers, right? So what is your promise? What has God promised to you? Who are you? No, come on, think about it. It's from that place we engage. It's from that place we engage the enemy. Who are you? Who are you? David saw himself as what God spoke to him. He said, you're going to be king. He said, okay, sounds good to me. And he took that thing, and he ran with that thing. He had a legal authority and permission to do that. You know what the Bible says about you when you accept Christ and you believe? He says he gave them the right to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Is that how you see yourself this morning? Do you see yourself as that this morning? So when you engage the Goliaths of the land, because we are engaging right now, and I'm telling you, fathers, they're coming after your children. Not to promote fear. Now, we could have a fear response, but that's not what we're supposed to have, are we? Did David have a fear response to Goliath? Come on, when he came up to Goliath, was he afraid? Do you want me to repeat what he said? Did it sound like fear? You come against me with a sword? This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. You're coming against my daughter? No. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Because I don't come against you against the sword or the spear. Right? What do I come with you? Right? What am I coming against? Who's alongside me? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? In the name of the Lord, because what? I'm a son, and this is part of my family. Amen? We do that from that place. We engage the enemy. You know, I was reminded this week about how I engage the enemy. We talk so much about people around our lives and all the negative things that are going on. We talk, talk, talk. And that's all we do. But he said, you know, we're supposed to pray about this. Yeah, right. What am I doing? Come on, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God in pulling down of strongholds. What weapons have we been given? What do you got right now? No, think about it. What do you have right now to engage the enemy? Because we're fighting principalities and powers that are affecting us right now. So what do we have to engage the enemy? What do we have? Promise. What is your promise? What is the promise over this house? What is the promise over your life? That's how you engage the enemy. And that's all I need to engage the enemy, right? God, you said in this, your word, right? You said in your word, Father God. You said this in your word. Where is the word of God? How is it manifesting in my life? This morning, the word of God was spoken in our life, and it should energize us because, praise God, I got a promise. Unusual things, right? Expecting the unexpected. Would you have expected this? Who is going to be the man who's going to take that stone and take that stone and look at Goliath? All he had was stones and a slingshot. Let me tell you something. What you have is enough. What you have right now is enough. There is a lie out there that says you need something more, but you don't. You got God. You got Christ with you right now. That circumstance, that Goliath, that thing that's going on right now in your life. What you have in your hand is enough. Because you have what? The promise. So if I don't know the promise, I want to get a hold of the promise. Amen. Am I sure what the God says about what the book says about who I am in Christ? I need to know, right? So David was anointed. So he said he come to Goliath and he took that thing and he took that stone, and we know what happens, right? So he took that stone and he knocked out Goliath, right? Hit him in the forehead. It said it was embedded into his skull. I mean, that's unexpected, right? That actually went and he got knocked down. And then what did David do? He took his sword. He took that which the enemy was going to use against him and he chopped the head off. What is the enemy trying to use against you right now? Think about it. What is he trying to, fear? Is he trying to use fear against you right now? That very thing that the devil's trying to use against you right now is going to be his undoing, right? So he chopped the head off Goliath. David picked up the head, and all the armies, guess what they did? They ran in fear. You don't have to be afraid. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has come. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. One of the greatest weapons is love. It's a weapon. Love is a weapon. We have full access to all the love that we will ever need right now because what? I'm a son. I don't need anything else. I have it all right now. Do you believe that? As Jenny was sharing this morning, do you believe that? We're going to combat and win this thing with this love. It's going to blow up everything because it's unlimited, right? It's his unfailing love. He loves us. He accepts us just because of who we are. So we get the word of God. You remember what faith is? Faith is what? I hear the word, right? I accept the word, and I embrace the word, right? When we get a prophetic word and we read through it and we pray about it, you believe this is the word of the Lord. But guess what? At some point, you have to stand before God and say, Father, and read the prophetic word and say, I accept this prophetic word into my life. I accept all the resources that come with it, and I will partner with the Holy Spirit. I will step into this place deliberately. Let me tell you, David stepped into that place deliberately. Don't call forth the resources of heaven and not step forth deliberately into that place that God has called you to do it. Come on. David stepped into that place before he was king because God spoke it, and that's all he needed to hear. Somewhere that has to hit in our hearts that that's all I need to know. Is that what God said? And I'm going to step into that place. So when he stepped, that's called faith. Why? Because I heard, I accept, and I embraced it, the word of God. It spoke to my heart. It's happened before, and now I'm going to do it again. Amen? You've stepped out in faith before, and God's come through. Come on. I was just talking with Pastor Jake this week. There's times in my life where I've had to step out in faith, and he's come through. And he's come time and time and time and again. And guess what? I must have to walk by. I think he's asking me, and he's showing me that I need to walk by faith. I'm going to step into that position. I'm going to take that sling, and I'm going to throw it. I don't understand everything about the trajectory and everything, how this is going to work, but David knew that it was going to work because he was living by faith. He wasn't made king before he slayed the giant. He saw that place, and it was a stepping stone for him to be elevated into a new place of leadership. He did. He took it, and from that place, it exploded. Why? Because he stepped out in faith. Right now, God is asking you to step out in faith. And what Jenny was saying was, do you really believe? What do you really believe right now? Because some point in some place, you have to deliberately make a step towards that. I know this man, Pastor Jake, he was given a word that he would be an apostle. He had no idea what that meant, but the man stepped out into that. That's his testimony. He didn't know what it was, but he stepped out and he did great things for the Lord in this area up here. He stepped out and more people stepped out, not even understanding. He says, do I have to understand this all? No, but you need to step out in faith. At some point, all this stuff and what God's saying, he's asking you to step out in faith and do something you have never done before. Come on. The first message in the conference was what? We talked about, Steve Mianje talked about, to do something that has never been done before. Remember? Something that has never been, what is something that has never been done in Thief River Falls before. Something that has never happened. That time, David stood up and he did something that nobody had ever seen before. It happened. It happened because he stepped out into something that he believed and he made it happen. Amen? It's our time and we have a choice of whether or not we want to step out in faith. We're just talking about carpet, but that's crazy. Somebody's going to get the fire burn on and they're going to just rip that thing out and start doing it. And they're just going to step out and do it. And we're just waiting. We're waiting for the resources. But you're not supposed to wait for the resources. You're supposed to step out in faith and start moving into that place. David didn't have all the... He had a stone and a sling. And he stepped out into something because he had a promise. I got 14 pages of promises about this house right here. 14 pages that God has spoken to this house and who we are and what we are. It's just right here, man. Every word is right here. It's the promise. This is all we need. This is all that we run with, right? This is all that we run with. Thief River Falls is a place of spiritual pioneers. Not settling, but constantly breaking new ground. Constantly pioneering for a new place. Further than ever before. Supernatural faith. Believing for what God is believing for. Dreaming his dreams. If you're willing to believe for anything that can happen, God is bringing you out of what seemed to be a prison in hope and in dreams and is bringing you fulfillment to them. It is going to be the greatest times. Do you believe it? That's the word of God that's spoken. David was anointed. It was poured on him. He's like, wow, now I got legal permission to carry this out. I got what? Permission to overcome every obstacle. Elevated status in Christ because he spoke it. He spoke over you. I know he spoke over you. He gave you a word. He gives you permission, right? As fathers, we have legal permission over our families to pray, right? To lose things. When we embrace our identity fully, you know how to stand in every situation. I believe God is asking us, who are we? What kind of people are we? This church has been prophesied over as a place of crazy faith. crazy faith. What does crazy faith look like again? Someone show me what crazy faith looks like. What is crazy faith? Amen? Crazy miracles. People need signs and wonders where people are being healed. That's what's been prophesied over this house. Miracle signs. This is an apostolic training center. That's why people from Pakistan come here. Because God said, you are an apostolic training center. We might as well just embrace it. We can't change it, right? It's what God said. It's who we are. So we embrace that part of our lives. And we just say, praise God. That's what we are. Amen? I am a son of the Most High God. I am fully accepted because of that. Because of that, I have a right to come before the Father in prayers and petitions, and it affects my life. Right now, you're facing Goliaths. Let's just face it. You're facing Goliaths in your life. You have choices to make. I have choices to make. Whether I'm going to step out in faith or not. And he's challenging how I perceive myself. How do you perceive yourself? Am I a son of God? Am I his child? Right? He's given me legal authority and permission to step out into things that I've never stepped out in before. He has. He's given you legal permission and authority to step out in things you've never been stepped out before. Amen? You're going to do something that's never been done before. And he's looking for that man. It took one man, come on, to lead a whole people group, the whole nation of Israel. It took one man to say, yeah, I will face that. It takes one man to stand up. And God is looking for those men. He's looking for those men in such a time as this to stand up by faith and do something that has never been done before. You know, we did it this way, and we've done it this way for a very long time, but now it's going to be something that's never been done before. And it can be uncomfortable, but it is what God desires, that we would step out into faith and be something and do something that has never happened. I have the prophetic words here. I believe there's an assignment of the devil to take away every prophetic word that has been spoken over your life and this church. Why is the devil after it? Because it's your legal authority and power to stand in every circumstance. Every single one. And maybe we don't even take that seriously. What a prophetic word is, or what that even means. But God wants to speak into your life, your destiny, your future, so that you have an outcome with every situation you face. When death comes knocking on your door, when sickness comes knocking on your door, you say, no, it's not. God has called me to sing and make CDs. I have not fulfilled that which God has called me to do. Come on. Every single one of you. I know most of you here, I know some visitors, thank you for coming, but I know most of you here have been given prophetic words. God has spoken over your life to fulfill that. The resources and the destiny is sitting right there for you to step into that calling, to fulfill that calling. And you will never be happy. You will never be satisfied as you will fulfilling what God has called you to do, because he made you. He knows what you like. You probably don't even know what you like, but he knows how to fulfill you and fulfill what you have in your life and your destiny. You're looking for happiness out there. Well, I'm telling you, you're not going to find it, man. It's going to come crashing down, and Goliath's going to knock on your door, and you're going to be afraid. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of seeing people being afraid. That's not who you are. Guys, that's not us. We're not to be afraid. Your father is a big dude. Come on, he's a big, big father. How big is God? He's a big father, and he's your father. Don't tell me if your father was standing right here in the room next to you, and he was like 300 feet tall, that wouldn't do something to your confidence in your spirit. Don't tell me that. It wouldn't. God is bigger than that. Look up in the sky. You tell me how big God is. Come on. We got to build our faith up. God is a really, really big God. And he's waiting on you. He's watching you. You believe this? Just make that step. He's got a whole flood of promises ready to fill in your life. You make that step. Boom, there's the resource for that. How many times have we seen it? How many times have we seen it? I mean, come on, man. It's crazy. And here we are again. Here we are again. Come on. Maybe this is the first time God's called you to step out into something. I don't know if it's just given for that carpet. Whatever it is. He said, would you do that? Let me show you who I am for you. It's just a simple thing like that. Maybe it's a little bit bigger. But that's the promise. Amen? That's what he's calling you to do, man. He's so big and he's so good. And when we find that identity, and he's allowing us to go through some things so we can discover who we really are. Don't panic. Don't hit the eject button yet. Come on. Allow God to ask him this question. God, who do you need to be for me now that you've never been before in my life? Show me your power. Show me your spirit. Ask him the question because he will show you. Amen? Don't give up on that thing. Don't roll over. Don't turn your head. Don't say that'll never happen. Don't allow the negativity of the world, the Goliaths of the world, to speak into your life and tell you who you are. You grab the word of God and you allow him to minister to you. You grab the prophetic word and you say, I am a son and a daughter of the Most High God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper because my righteousness is of what? Jesus Christ. That is who I am. All right? I'm facing a situation, circumstance. Oh, it's too much. It is not too much. Don't whine to God because he took care of everything on the cross. Come on, he did. Don't complain to him because it's finished. He's just trying to straighten out our alignment, so we're looking to him all the time. Come on, man. He's putting it up there. This is who you are. This is who you are now. Engage life with who you are. Don't go back to the old ways. They're dead. Engage life. Begin to speak over your kids, to pray for your kids. Don't go back to those old things anymore. Engage life in a new way. And if you don't know, ask them. Woo! Guess what we get to do if we don't know what to do? We just get to ask. Am I done there? Did I lose my power? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Come on, give him the glory. This is you, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you want to pray? Okay. Come on. Let it be a faith stirring up. You know, there was a point where Jesus spoke to his disciples about forgiving one another. And it was a very challenging time. And they cried out, increase our faith. You know, I've been hearing the word. I've been accepting the word. But maybe I haven't been embracing it, the word. And there comes moments and times where, you know what, God allows us to just sit there and he waits to see what we will do in response to his word. And I really believe that's the time that we're living in right now. How are we going to respond to this very situation, this very time in our lives, this chapter? Will they look back at this chapter and they say, that generation at this time decided to stand up in one voice and say, you are Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And we're not coming after people with the sword and the spear, but we're coming after people with the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to engage life this way. I'm going to engage life with this way. I'm going to engage this relationship this way. I'm going to engage it as a son, as a daughter. I'm going to use the fruit of the Spirit. I am going to engage life now this way. And Goliath is going to fall. No more fear, no more doubt. That thing that Goliath has been pointing out is a place where God is looking to upgrade us and say, no more, this is not you, son. This is not you, daughter. You do not need to be afraid anymore. Enough is enough. He says, this is your time. Step out in faith and trust me. Let me show you who I can be for you now. Let me show you who I can be for you now. This is who I am. This is the way you handle stress. This is the way you handle fear. You give it to me. You take up and let me be embraced by my love. Be embraced by the miracle of the cross. I want to complete that work which I have started in you. I am not done with you yet. Come on. Father God, I just lift up everyone in this room, including myself. This is a dawning of a new day and a new era of your church. And you've called your church to awaken. Awaken and arise to who we really are in you. To be that voice, to be that city on a hill, hallelujah, that cannot be hidden. We cannot be hidden as God's people any longer. You will not be hidden. Circumstances and situations have dictated to us that our true identity must come out and arise and shine. For the light has come and God's glory will be risen upon you. Come on, it is your day and it is your time. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for our faith. God, that you could increase faith. Hallelujah. That you could point out and you can minister to every single one of us, Father God. And not break the ties, Lord Jesus, but increase and strengthen the bonds of love through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I just want to challenge the church, and in particular, because we're dealing with so many different countries, so many people's lives, I'd like to ask the people that come from the country of Mexico, I would like you this next week, if you could lift up Pakistan, just the people in Pakistan, And I know that something's going on. If you'd lift them up and say, God, do a miracle to change their hearts, to become born again. I challenge those that are from Liberia or Ethiopia, the brothers and sisters from them areas, that you would take on Afghanistan. And that you'd pray for Afghanistan this next week, that something's going to break through, that we're going to see a mighty breakthrough on the nations of Islam, where their lives are going to, they might be Muslims like other people are Catholics or other people are Lutherans, but we want them to be born again believers in Christ. This is our ability. This is our authority. And so if you do that, if you begin to pray in that area, I'm originally from Norway, so I'm a Norwegian. A person from Norway is a Norwegian. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for India, that India would, there'd be a great breakthrough. Pakistan and India has not had good relationships, but we're not talking about Pakistan and India as a people. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Like David was, so are we. Like David was, so are we on planet Earth. And we begin to attack these forces that are holding multitudes of even billions of people in bondage. I believe that God's big enough. He's 300 feet tall. That's my daddy. And I believe that he could break through in an instant. And that's what the word of the Lord said, that nations are going to be shifted and lives are going to be changed because God's going to step into the situation. So I challenge you this next week, whatever nationality you call yourself, no problem. But we are born again Christians coming together, and we've made and we will make a difference as we begin to pray. And our brother is going to go back, and he's ready to go into these countries, and you can pray divine protection over his life. And I'm praying that someday that I'll step on the shores of Pakistan or in these places, because I believe that if we go, we will see the results of Daddy God. I don't have to run in fear. Daddy God will be there. If I step on that shore, Daddy God will be there. Amen. God bless you. May you go with the peace and the power of a living God. And may the blessings of the Lord be with you. Enjoy yourself, especially on this day. And love God and love people. And I know that things are really looking up. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you're needing prayer for anything, and I'm saying anything, this is a very important time of the service. We dismiss, but if you're needing prayer, there'll be people here that will pray, and we will see prayer answered. Amen? We insist on it. Hallelujah. God bless you. May you go with the power and the peace of God. Thank you, Tom, for delivering that powerful message. Wasn't that powerful? Thank you, praise and worship team. Thank you for coming out. Be blessed and know that God is in control. God bless you. You're dismissed.